No, you're not hearing things incorrectly. This is what the internet could sound like without the protections of Title II and net neutrality. Without this, the internet in the United States will become more like cable, where there are packages, fast lanes, and slow lanes. The internet and freedom of information is the greatest advancement in generations of humanity, and for what it's worth, benefits from being treated equally to a company like Comcast or Verizon. No other decision will be as important in our lifetimes. Please, take action. It is your problem, too. If you are a furry, you're here in part because of net neutrality. If you're not from the United States, consider making a donation to the Electronic Frontier Foundation or Fight for the Future. This helps fund the major groups who are fighting to keep the internet open. The internet matters. Do your part, please. Enjoy the show bonus.
Feed straight through. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. For only $5, I can bring you the word of the Lord our God. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. 50 Shades of Grey, the furry edition. $5, place an envelope, give it to Rabbit Valley, and you too will buy another bottle of gin. Yes, the liquor of the gods. That's right, gin, the creator and wonderful thing that gives us all this lovely reading today. Gin, what we need. That's right, $5, that's what you need. And now, a reading from the Book of the Shades. There is a state-of-the-art range. I think I have the hang of it. Somewhere, I need somewhere to keep the pancakes warm. And I start off on the bacon. Amy Studd. Who the hell's Amy Studd? Who knows? Amy Studd is singing my ear about misfits. This song used to mean so much to me, and that's because I'm a misfit. And I need some place to keep the pancakes warm. And I start on the bacon. Let's think about this here, my boys and girls out there in the audience. She needs a place to put the bacon. So she's starting with the pancakes. No, reverse that. She's gonna start with the bacon again. What is with this chicken bacon? I don't quite understand it. At least she didn't put it under the burner. Call back there. I put the bacon under the grill. Shit. My followers, this is Preacher Rabbit here talking to you here, and I just want you to know that I may have just had a revelation. Word of God coming down from on high, or it could just be the gin. The author of this book has never made a piece of bacon in their life. I'm not sure how one can put bacon under a grill. The bacon, while it's cooking, is being whisked with eggs. I imagine the eggs are going to be poured directly into the oven. Perhaps we're going to break out a flamethrower for the toast. I'm not sure. Let's find out, because there's nothing more erotic than making breakfast in the morning. How would you like your eggs unfertilized? I turn, and Christian is standing on one of the bar stools, which apparently is where they're preparing the frittatas. And at the breakfast bar, leaning on it, his face supported by his steepled hands. He's wearing the t-shirt he slept in. Just fucked hair really suits him, and does his designer stubble. He looks amused and bewildered. I freeze, realize I'm burning the bacon because I placed it under the grill. Thus ends the reading.
I'll tell you, I have never met people who are just so excited to have a lawyer talk to them.
Well, it's true, because people think lawyers are either super expensive, which yes they are, but also they don't even know how to ask the questions. Like, there's a whole jargon about how to ask something.
Oh, no, there's not. You just start talking, and after about 10 minutes, I look at you and I go, okay, can we cut the bullshit now? And I'm going to tell you what I'm hearing. It's a pretty straightforward process. Now, of course, if you're paying, if you're in my office talking directly to me and you're paying for every minute, I'll let you ramble for as long as you want.
Minimum 1 hour.
Yeah, and then when you're done, I'll say, okay, so what you're really asking is very simple question A, right? Yeah, here's your answer. Oh, that's easy. Yeah, then that'll be $300.
Are you a general kind of lawyer, or have you specialized?
No lawyer really specializes. There's actually bar rules, and bar rules are different from state to state, but the general one is you can't say you're a specialist in the field of law.
Really? Because they have like patent attorneys.
The exception is patent lawyers.
Okay, thank you.
Patent lawyers get to do that.
Why are they so special?
Because they have a separate bar exam they have to take.
Oh.
Mm.
Also, yeah, everybody else just takes their general state bar exam. Patent lawyers have to take the U.S. patent bar.
Why is it called a bar?
Well,
because it's not what I'm thinking.
Have you ever been in a courtroom?
Yes.
Okay. Have you ever been in a real courtroom, not like the one that's set up out in the boonies somewhere with a judge who was elected and sits for 2 hours a day?
No. I've been to like a district court.
Okay. You know, there's that big seating area, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other side of that seating area, there's where the judge sits, the bench and the tables and old jury box, if they have a jury box. And then there's that big wooden divider
between the
rating, general public and where the judge sits and the tables are, right?
Uh-huh.
That's the bar. Everything past the bar is called the well of the courtroom.
Hmm.
It used to be, and it still is, you weren't allowed, unless you were a party to a case, you weren't allowed to go past that wooden separator unless you were a licensed attorney.
Huh.
So when you were called before the bar, you were being admitted to the practice of law and able to cross into the well of the courtroom.
That sounds really, really grand. I was thinking in my head, a bar exam, like how many shots of this and that?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds so fancy, doesn't it?
It does.
I've argued cases in blue jeans and a t-shirt with a sports coat on.
That's my style.
That's awesome.
That's my style for sure.
Does the judge ever, like, not take you seriously because of the way, or your client?
It depends on the court and the judge. If I'm where I am, we have magistrate's courts, and the magistrate is a very low-level judge, what we call a lay judge. They're a judge that's elected but doesn't have to have any legal training. And those are very informal. To them, a lawyer coming in clean clothes is a plus because most people who show up don't have lawyers and aren't dressed appropriately. When I'm arguing before our trial courts up here, our Court of Common Pleas, that is suit and tie territory. And I don't think – some states – guys are going in slacks, a nice sports jacket, a tie for that. Here it is suit and tie. And nothing less than suit and tie. But for courtroom demeanor, a lot of that's left up to how the judge wants to run things. A courtroom is actually kind of a judge's small little kingdom. And within certain bounds of reason, they get to say what does and does not happen down to the way lawyers dress.
That makes sense. I mean, it's kind of in a way their own business, even though it's not really a business.
But, yeah. Yep.
So is there an actual kangaroo court? No, I'm just kidding. I'm not asking that question.
Do the thing I just told you to do.
Yeah. We're going to go to break and then we'll be back.
There you go.
That works.
That works.
That's a good solution.
You know what? I don't even have this ready.
Ding. There you go.
Okay. Next question is from Miski. She says, "Hi, Boozy. Which do you think have wilder parties, law students or furries? I remember us marine biology students having some pretty awesome parties that usually involved fancy dress and too much rum. So not too dissimilar to what you'd find at a furry convention. What do law students get up to? Thanks, Miski."
Oh, we drank. We drank a lot. Middle of the semester, it's time for alcohol. End of the semester after finals, it's time to get blackout drunk. A visiting professor comes to give a speech. There's beer at the reception. Now, law school revolves around booze. As for whether the parties are wilder, I can't say because I haven't been to a furry party yet. I have been in the general vicinity of a furry party, but I have not yet been to a dedicated furry party yet. I can tell you In law school, after my first year of law school, we all got drunk at a friend's apartment off campus. And I had been drinking. The final was over at 10 a.m., so we started drinking at roughly 11. At about 3 a.m., I passed out on their couch. I woke up the next morning, and somebody had drawn genitalia all over me. I would find out later the person who drew that genitalia all over me was my partner. So it's basically I passed out, and they went, "Give me the marker. I live with the asshole." and that's where it is. But I can't really say whether furries or lawyers have better parties just because I haven't been to a furry party yet.
Hailing frequencies open. Smokescale Aquatis here with another round of news for you. As of Wednesday, July 5th, here are your space headlines. China was poised Sunday to see the second successful flight of their heavy-lift rocket, the Long March 5. The payload was the Shenzhen 18 communications satellite, which was to be the first in a new series of relay stations with enhanced bandwidth capacity. I'm using was because the Chinese government has unfortunately declared the launch to be a failure. China is being very tight-lipped about what happened, so not many details are known. We know that the vehicle lifted off the pad as expected and flew perfectly for the early phase of the mission. We also know that the four strap-on boosters separated, but after that, we don't know anything. The broadcasters cut their feeds abruptly, and not long after, the rocket's manufacturing company posted an update on their website saying the launch was a failure. This is going to slow down China's plans to send missions to the moon. The Long March 5's next mission was to send the Chang'e 5, a robotic mission to collect soil and rock samples from the lunar surface and return them, and that was originally slated for this November. Needless to say, that has been delayed. It's never fun hearing about a failed rocket. I hope they can figure out what went wrong and solve it so they don't delay their manifest too far. SpaceX launched a Dragon resupply capsule to the ISS a little over a month ago, and what's really neat is this was the second time this specific capsule had flown. It successfully reached the station, was berthed, and then its cargo was offloaded. Over the vehicle's stay, they loaded it with materials and experiments, including live animals, mice, for return to Earth. Well, just recently, that capsule came thundering back home and splashed down. It was recovered, completing the Dragon's second mission. This only further proves the validity of reusable spacecraft, and SpaceX couldn't be prouder. I don't know if the next Dragon flight will be a previously flown capsule, but it would be really cool if it was. Are you 20 years old? Are you younger? I hope not too much younger, because if you're under 18, then you shouldn't be listening to this without parental supervision. But if you're 20 years old or younger, you've never known a time when NASA wasn't actively exploring Mars. This week, they celebrated two decades of constant robotic exploration of the surface of the Red Planet. On July 4th, 1997, NASA's Mars Pathfinder, that's right, the lander that Mark Watney dug up in The Martian, deployed its airbags, then bounced 15 times across the surface, came to a rest, and deployed to begin our uninterrupted examination of the Martian surface. That was the first time the United States had landed anything on Mars since the Viking landers back in 1976. The Sojourner rover only lasted 7 days, but the base station, the lander, lasted for 85 days before it lost contact with Earth. The lander has been renamed the Carl Sagan Memorial Station. By the time Pathfinder lost contact with Earth on September 27th, another mission had entered orbit on the 12th, the Mars Global Surveyor. In total, including Pathfinder, NASA has sent 9 robotic missions that have overlapped with one another, some staying in orbit, some landing, some only flying by. And several other missions have been sent by other space agencies. We know more today about Mars than we ever have before, and you can be sure that the last 20 years have been spent making that a reality. Here's to 20 more years of Martian exploration and beyond. SpaceX sure has been dominating my news segments a lot lately. They launched from Kennedy back on June 23rd, then from Vandenberg 2 days later, the 25th, and then earlier tonight, they successfully launched from Kennedy again. In the span of only 12 days, they have successfully launched 3 separate missions, 2 of which saw the first stage successfully land on their 2 drone ships. Why only 2? Well, that third mission was in expendable mode. No lander legs, no grid fins, no landing. So it was a naked Falcon 9. Why was this an expendable launch? Well, because the payload, the Intelsat 35E, is the absolute heaviest payload that SpaceX has ever put on a Falcon 9 and sent to geotransfer orbit. It was originally meant to fly on the Falcon Heavy, But due to delays and such, SpaceX decided to put it on top of a regular Falcon 9 to get their customer into orbit sooner. Originally, this launch was scheduled for Sunday, July 2nd, which would have made for a record turnaround at Kennedy, the fastest any pad has been reused on site. But at just 9 seconds before liftoff, an abort was called and the launch was scrubbed. We still don't really know anything about why. They reset for the next day, Monday, July 3rd, which still would have broken the record, but like the previous day, at 9 seconds until liftoff, an abort was called, and the launch was scrubbed. They took the 4th off, and then tried again today, on the 5th, which was a complete success. Now that they've gotten all that out of their system, SpaceX is going to take a little break. Their next launch will be August 10th, and that will be the next Dragon resupply, CRS-12. The last of the resupply missions they're supposed to fulfill under the original commercial resupply contract. Don't worry though, SpaceX, along with Orbital ATK and Sierra Nevada, is lined up to continue delivery of cargo under the CRS-2 contract. That's all this time. For more on space and space-related matters, check out the social media for all the agencies and companies mentioned. And don't forget to check out my long-form podcast, Committed to Launch, at committedtolaunch.com and at launchcommit on Twitter. If you've got a question about space, send it on in. Until next time, this is Smokescale Aquatus saying, keep looking up, space fans.
Fifty Shades of Grey, the furry edition. Season 2. Volume 63, Section 5, Subparagraph. Wow, that's an interesting face as you took a drink of that wine. Are you okay, Tugs? You do realize you bought the peach wine, right? $5. I haven't seen as hide nor hair of this $5 of which you speak here. I'm just saying, you know? Yeah, that's true. He told me to ship it somewhere. Lost in the mail, apparently, so. Fifty Shades of Grey, the furry edition, volume 63. I don't know what the hell we're doing anymore. There's been a lot of gin. Is brought to you by the new invention from Bed Bath & Beyond, in that Beyond section. Has this ever happened to you? He placed the bacon under the burner. Shit. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we now have an invention to fix this problem forever. It's great. Pre-cooked bacon, also pre-chewed. Even better, just inject it directly into your veins. Now available in the injectable section of Bed Bath & Beyond. This section of the book has been pre-selected, unread, and is brought to you before a live studio audience. That's what our director's good for. It's random commands, kind of like Mr. Gray. Knit your hands together in front of you. And pray. Knit your hands. I'm just like picturing like needles getting involved, and this gets really kinky here. You know, it's like I've seen some Rubber Asylum shit, and this is too much for me. I don't want to have this knitting play. This, obviously, I'm going too fat or too slow in this intro here because my iPad turned off on me. That's even better here. Yeah, sorry guys, we upgraded. Sorry, just trumped on the microphone again. We upgraded. No more Nook. Nook. The story didn't get improved by taking it and putting it on the iPad. There's a brightness setting on this iPad, but this book ain't getting any smarter, that's for sure. Knit your hands together. I still can't get over this. What's with the knitting? Why is this hot? This is what This is what this author thinks that women do all day. He's seriously sitting here writing, typing about knitting. Knitting your hands together. That's right. Crochet your hands in front of me. I demand a crocheted crotch pillow, please. They're making doilies. Knit your hands together in front of you. Ah, even better. He orders as he peels the doily off of me and throws it on the floor. Why not? I do as he asks, and he binds his wrist together with his tie. What? Okay, that's my wrist together, because if it was his wrist together, I'd be like, damn, this guy's ambidextrous, and then some. His eyes are bright with wild excitement. I've never tied up a girl before. Yay! He tugs at the binding. It's secure. God, I hope so, because it doesn't take much to actually, like, you know, tie a knot nowadays. What type of furries are these that they can't knot things? I'm gonna get some sea salt involved here, man. You know, it's like, God. When in doubt, call Red Rusker. Oh, God, a gratuitous advertising moment in someone else's podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for playing. Send $5. What now? My pulse has gone through the roof. My heart beating a frantic tattoo. What the shit did he just write? My heart beating a frantic tattoo. Tatooine or something like that? Is there like some cantina band going on here in her heart? I don't understand what's happening here. He runs his finger down my pigtails. Now we've gotten little bunk beds. All right. Let's calm it down. I'm assuming that she's a consensual age. She has a tattoo, apparently. We can only assume. Of course, the next line doesn't help any of this. You look so young with these. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Steele or Mr. Trump or Mr. whatever the heck this is in this game. Who is the gamer? That guy. Gray! That's you, good Mr. Steele. I'm thinking Remington Steele. Mr. Steele. Do you expect me to talk? No, I expect you to die.